Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nanga Def. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Hallelujah, greetings, global transformers. I'm Evangel Mamadou Love, Yon Nubian, your host today, July 24, 2001, for Wisdom with Mamadou. Women in support of daughters on motherhood preparation. And spiritually speaking, men who do the will of God are mothers too. We've got a very exciting program for you today. You know, I think Sweet Honey and The Rock and Ella Sung kind of summarizes where we are today. Black Lives Matter. Why? Because the killing of black men, black mothers' sons, is not as important as the killing of white men, white mothers' sons. So today we have Mr. Wallace Redd. I'm sure he's a regular friend, family friend member of the Female Solution, and he has his own very powerful program called the Love power show. And that's our topic for today. How can we love into shape instead of whipping into shape? That is our challenge, because love is the greatest gift. It's a gift, and it's an action word. And the first teacher is the mother. And if she doesn't teach her child how to love, or if that child doesn't learn how to love, then violence is born into the world. How do we do that? There has to be a step towards solving every problem that we have out here. I was in traffic court once, and this judge said, he said, all the problems in the world exist because somebody did not learn how to love. And I thought about that. I don't know if we've had some technical difficulties or not, but we usually have some glitches. That's why you're not seeing my smiling, wonderful, warm facial greetings. Because of glitches. But so I thought about that. I said, well, maybe the mother taught that child how to love, but the love, that child didn't learn the lesson. So this is what we have. We have violence in the world. The first Mother's Day was because mothers who bring life into the world were tired of men who took their sons in particular. Now women have equal rights. They are taken also in war. And so they had a Mother's Day so that women would have a voice. And we don't want you killing our sons. We give them life, and you take it away with war. Reverend Dr. Prophet King said, and the reason I call him Reverend Dr. Prophet King is because on August 28th, the anniversary of the kidnap lynching of 14-year-old Chicago Emmett Till, and my Earth Day birthday, Dr. King had the Emancipation March on Washington, 1863 to 1963. Is 100 years. So this was a 100 years later. What is the status of the Negro? And that was the name given because Negro means black in Spanish, and the Spaniards were among the founding fathers of the transatlantic slave trade. And so they came up with Negro, because there is no land, no language. It's not on a map called Negro, called black, called colored, called people of color, called minorities, called Afro-Americans, Afro-descendants, African-American. There's no such place on a map. And I know people don't like to hear that, but a continent, Africa is a continent, and I've said it many times before, the people living on the continent do not claim the continent. They claim countries like Ghana and Liberia and Kenya, countries. There are some 54, I think, or 56 countries on the continent of Africa that are larger than the United States of America. It is a continent. We had tribal names. There were no such names as Negro and African American and people of color and colored people when we got kidnapped and brought to these shores. All those different people that accumulated there at that certain portion of the continent came from many tribes. men, well, all of them with tribal names. The indigenous Native Americans, they have their tribal names still. Apaches, Cheyenne, Mohawk, they all have their different tribal names, but we don't. And one of the things that the June 18th, 2009 United States Senate and United States Congress apologized for all the taking of our names and our heritage and all the wicked things that they've done. And they even featured two presidents in that United States apology for slavery and segregation, Jim Crow genocide laws. It was 88 of those laws until 1954 when the Supreme Court ruled that segregation was unconstitutional because it only existed to keep the status of the Negro down, not people of color, not black and brown, but the status of the Negro down. It was the Dred Scott decision of 1857 that said blacks, Negro in Spanish, have no rights. They didn't say black and brown had no rights or people of color or anybody else, but the Negro, the blacks have no rights. And so what happened to us makes us different, and we ought to claim it. But America did not become America until 1776, July 4th. So if we came in 1619, whether in chains or not, we were here before America got here. And that is what makes you indigenous. Therefore, we are indigenous people of this country because we were here before the government got here. That's what makes us indigenous. But there was only two groups that could be born in America and not be citizens in the land of their birth, and that is the red man and the black man, the savage and the slave, as they were called. The only two that could be born in this country and not be citizens in the land of their birth. We, after the 13th Amendment, when they changed the laws of slavery, and they abandoned individual ownership of slaves, and they changed it into institutional ownership of slaves through incarceration. That is why there are so many laws that are disproportionately impacting the formerly known as slaves. Because you've got to realize that after 246 years, all of those years was not under America. Only 89 of those years were under America, beginning in 1776, not beginning in 1619. So if you're thinking that America is going to give you 400 years of reparations, you've got you're mistaken. And you need to get your facts straight because facts can change feelings, but feelings cannot change facts. So the facts are we got the abolishing, as I said, of individual ownership of slaves, and they just changed it into institutional ownership of slaves through incarceration. So the 13th Amendment says there should be neither slavery nor involuntary servitude. Servitude was different. And most white people were working off a debt which they could not work out longer than 7 years under servitude. And if they had any children, those children were born free. Any children born during those 7 years of servitude. So our children were also born slaves. And if the mother was a slave, then the child she birthed was automatically a perpetual slave. So that was no slavery nor involuntary servitude, except if you are duly convicted by a jury of your peers. Well, first of all, the slave has never been equal to the slave owner. So if the jury was all white, they were not his peers. So, but what happened was, who decides what a guilty in what a crime is. If you go from 246 years, if you do the math, 1619 to 1865, 246 years of being chattel, which means movable property, a movable property thing, then you were let go. You can go. You're free. You went from 100% employment for 246 years, and now you're out of work. You don't have a job. They didn't give you any money. They didn't give you any land. They didn't give you, you didn't have a family. You didn't have a home. You didn't have education. You didn't have transportation, not even a pair of shoes to pull yourself up by bootstraps, but you're told you're free. And because you don't have a job, your first crime is vagrancy. And not having a job, you can serve anywhere from 1 year to life behind bars because you didn't have a job. And you had been employed for 246 years as a movable property thing called chattel. So we are different. What happened to us makes us different. We are not like everybody else. We have not overcome 246 years of being a movable property thing, not a human being person. Chattel means movable property. A car is chattel because it goes on wheels. Black people were chattel because they walked on two legs. Right while the preamble is saying, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. Well, men are created equal, but you were not in the man category. You were a movable property thing called chattel. So the laws of men doesn't apply to you. And so what happened to us didn't happen to anybody else. The United Nations called it the greatest Holocaust in the history of humankind. And we still just don't comprehend that it is indeed a miracle that we are walking around able to move, considering 246 years of being a thing. A thing. No rights to family or education or no rights to anything. 246 years, and they didn't stop there. Another 88 years of segregation. Well, we were separate but equal, because now you're going to follow the Constitution. As I said, first, the 13th Amendment gave you the right to go without any resources, without any repair. They debriefed you if they've had you hostages for 6 weeks. You are debriefed and deprogrammed. We've never been debriefed, deprogrammed, or made whole. Everybody else has been made whole, and they didn't go through a fraction of what we went to. The Holocaust doesn't hold a candle of what we suffered through. Death was welcome. That's why the people, if they didn't weren't chained down, jumped into the sea and would rather be eaten by the shark than to be taken alive as a slave. So death would have been in the gas chambers quick and would have been welcome. To live in cruelty with no rights. Woman, you can be sexually violated, mutilated. It wasn't in a crime against you. It was a crime against your slave owner. You wasn't worthy of having been raped because you were a thing, a movable property thing. We really need to get the difference. What happened to us made us different. And it's okay because we're still here considering all the things. I don't know, we got some drum beats in the back, and we shouldn't have that drum beat. So if somebody is helping us out in an amen corner, I would ask very much that they do not give us a drum roll. because this is no time for a drum roll, for musical drum beat. Getting back to what I was saying, that what happened to us made us different. We are just miracles to be even walking around considering what we have gone through. The untreated heart, mind, self-hate, subjugated syndrome, white supremacy, blackface, intergenerational wealth, damage that didn't happen to anybody else. It happened to us. And I know that a lot of us believe, well, you all just take care of it. The Kerner Report of July 29th was an executive order entered by President Lyndon Baines Johnson after 11 years of marching and picketing and protesting and all kinds of things. He finally gave us some civil rights. But the Kerner Report of July 29th, 1967 said, white America is deeply rooted in the ghetto, but they are in denial about it. He said, white institutions created it, white institutions maintain it, and white society, although in denial, condones it. We was headed for two Americas, one white, one black, separate and unequal, but we've always had two. So we wasn't headed for it, but we had two. And that Kerner Report mapped out all the things that needed to be done to stop the uprisings that was going on all over America, especially after the assassination of Reverend Dr. Prophet King. Now, I said before, he shared his dream on August 28, 1963, but he left a prophetic vision on April 3rd, 1968. And that vision was, we as a people, not him as an individual, and he pointed that out, I might not get there with you, but we as a people, we as a Negro people, will get to the promised land. Vision, the people perish. And he did give us this prophetic vision. And we are going to get to the promised land of prosperity through the righteousness of reparation. It's right to give it to us. And when the United Nations voted slavery on September 4th, 2001, slavery, a crime against humanity, and always has been, it recommended reparations. And a few days later, the hit on America happened. But Senator Dick Durbin changed the script. He's an immigrant over here, so he made the reparations all about non-citizens and based on privilege. We have people who have broken into this country. Their children have been rewarded with a reparations dream at governmental leg up. And the words dream mean D, development, R, relief, E, education. The non-citizens based on privilege can go to graduate school for free. So development, relief, and education for aliens, as in non-citizens. This is what's in the DREAM Act, the word DREAM, development, relief, and education for alien minors under the age of 31. Now, you just tell me who is calling themselves a minor and they're over 31 years old. But this is what the Executive Order DREAM Act says. And in addition to that, they get amnesty from any crime. Any crime that's not federal, because it's a federal crime to break into this country. But under sanctuary, any crime that's not federal, and they get exemption from student loans and student debt that many of our children are drowning in, and they could not even learn to read or write. It was unlawful for them to learn to read or write. So all the rights and privileges that the red man has, as I said earlier, only the red man and the black man, the savage and the slave, could be born in America and not be citizens in the land of their birth. So if we were with any color, it should never be black and brown. Brown people were the ones in Mexico that Texas was once a part of. They had a revolutionary war. Mexico and America had a war, and Texas was one of the places that we talk about Juneteenth. Texas was one of the places that they lost. But as I said earlier, the founding fathers were the Spaniards, and so they had their own slave trade. So we should not be hooked up with black and brown. If there's any people to be hooked up with, it should be black and red. And we were the two first protected class of persons. Now everybody is protected class. But we are the twin victims of the American genocidal Holocaust. And when I said, I'm talking about indigenous, native American Africans. We must claim this country, not African America. Claiming the continent is not going to get it. Claiming the country. Everybody breaks in over here and they claim this country. But we want to go around with an attitude. And so I wasn't no American. I don't care what's in your vain imagination. You were born in this country and was given through constitutional rights, because movable property things didn't have any rights. In the 14th Amendment, it gave formerly known as Negro slaves the right to be citizens in the land of their birth. In the 14th Amendment and the 15th Amendment, gave black males, because the females didn't get the right to vote until the 19th Amendment, they got the right to vote. And in the 1860s, we had United States congressmen and United States senators, but with the court-sanctioned terrorism Ku Klux Klan group, by the 1960s, we didn't even have the right to vote, terrorized back into our place. And yet they never, until recently, even recognized the Ku Klux Klan as a terrorism group, because their birth of a nation was sanctioned from the White House on down. We're going to go for our break in 2 minutes, and when we return, if it be the will, we're going to have Wallace Redd, our guest. But I'm talking about this because we've got a violence problem, and we need to look at where did the violence come from? The bullwhip beatings that went into the billy club beatings, the belt beatings. How did this all come about? So that's why I have been telling you a little bit about the institutions of enslavement, which was really the root of the kind of that we see the flipping into shape. The United States Army talks about that, and Minister Robert Floyd Trump, our last guest, is going to be holding up the rear from 1:30 to 2 p.m. He's going to tell us a little bit about the Army's slogan, whipping into shape. And so we're going to come back with how to love instead of whip into shape, how to love into shape instead of whip into shape, because all of us are facing this every day of our life, and it's important that we recognize the role that mothers play being the first teacher. So we're going to commercial, and you have been listening to Mama D, and this is Wisdom with Mama D. And our call-in number, 515-605-9325, punch 1 to be part of our conversation. So we're going to go into our commercial break. Thank you so much for listening to Wisdom with Mama D. And pushing 1. You can share your wisdom. I don't hear the commercial coming up. And my phone is going beyond 12:30. Our wonderful visionary author, all around wonderful, Ahima Latif, is handling the commercials and everything else, and she just cannot be commended enough for 7 days a week, Blog Talk Radio.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Hallelujah, greetings in the spirit of Wayo and Yah Shalom. Wayo means we are one. Yah is Hebrew sacred name for God, and Shalom means peace. I'm Evangel Mamadi Love, Yah Nubian, and I'm inviting you to join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Wisdom with Mamadi. Call in number 515-605-9325. Wisdom. Women in support of daughters on motherhood preparation. And spiritually speaking, men who do the will of Yah are mothers too. As a Montessori educator, author, activist, international award-winning poet, and ordained minister, females, I want you to say farewell to all things, seen and unseen, that prevent your potential. You bring forth life and give birth to babies. A kid is an animal beast with four legs. A child is a human being person with two legs. Facts can change feelings, but feelings cannot change facts. A mother teaches love.
love is the arm that reaches out and holds people, places, and things together. That's what Wisdom with Mama D is about. Join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Call in 515-605-9325 to share your wisdom and love souls into shape. Remember, mother's farewell. If you don't, your child won't. And if he doesn't, society is abused. Females, you are global transformers with the power to change this world. Use it.
We are back. And are you there, Mr. Wallace Redd?
I'm here.
Oh, well, thank you so very much for being my guest today on Wisdom with Mama D. And boy, we got the power. So would you please tell everybody a little bit about yourself, and especially about love power and how it came to be? Because our theme, of course, is how to love into shape instead of whipping into shape. So tell us, we hear you on you're part of our Female Solution family, but do tell us some things about yourself.
Well, first of all, thank you for inviting me to join you on your show. I very much appreciate it. And let us get started and see if we can continue to have a great conversation/discussion as we do on the Love Power Show. And by the way, speaking of the Love Power Show and talking about how it came about, how it evolved, it actually got started in San Pablo, California. I was out there and I was riding around, my son and I, and we were, I think the show had started, but I was a couple of theme songs that I was looking at. One was Walking Away from Love by David Ruffin, and then the other one was Love Power by Willie Hutch. And deciding between the two, I decided on Love Power by Willie Hutch. In fact, one time I made a mistake and played the opposite of Love Power. It was David Ruffin, Walk Away from Love. And I said, oh, well, that's a dichotomy, isn't it? So a couple of friends of mine, they were saying, you can't mess up on the Love Power Show. So anyway, it evolved into Love Power, one of my favorite songs by one of my favorite artists, by Willie Hutch. And you know some of the lyrics and how they come about. Love, you know, Romeo chasing Juliet all night long. And that song does something to me every Sunday. I can be down, depressed, and sort of out of it. When I hear that song, I come to life. I absolutely love that song. So that is, and I think we've been doing this show now, I don't know, maybe about 10 years. Of course, I'm guessing. I may be stretching it a little bit. But, and so in my mind, we've grown tremendously, especially in terms of the topics. And the theme song, in fact, the theme is always going to be something about black people. Many people use African American, which I can understand that, but you're always going to hear something about black people, their politics, their economics, their social situations. Every Sunday is going to be something about black people. So this is how we got to where we are today. And I want to say something about the identification crisis, as I call it. Anytime you hear about a group of people and they have to go through these changes, deciding who they are, that represents a great problem. And I think about the group called the Mexicans, and they speak Spanish, of which that means that they were conquered by the Spaniards. But the identification process tells you about a people. And it tells you, and by the way, you gave a great comment, a powerful commentary, and it tells you about the history and the problems of that people. And yet you pointed out that we are a group of people who have undergone many changes, jumping off of slave ships and all these various ships bringing groups of people from different countries of that continent to this particular country. And so, yeah, we've undergone many changes, many atrocities, and this is where we are today. And I think about the evolutionary process. Remember that movie by Ice Cube was in the movie and had some children and all that, and they were traveling somewhere. Don't remember it now, but I thought about that movie as you were speaking, and the children kept asking, are we there yet? And so my question is, as a people, are we there yet? No, we are not there yet. We are seeing some changes taking place. We're seeing many games being played, many political games being played, but yet we've not arrived yet. And a lot of this stuff is political, apolitical. And you may get some changes in the legislatively, and then another group comes in and knocks those changes out. And so we often find ourselves in a continuous fight and a continuous battle. And talking about our history, this is where we get to the love and the hate. And we see many grown people, parents, beating their children, hitting and striking, and also Mama D is wrapped up in the language as well. For example, get your black nappy head ass somewhere and sit down. You never hear other groups using that language toward their children. Or I will beat you with an extension cord. I will bust your head with a baseball bat. All of this kind of crazy talk has nothing to do with love. And it is a carryover. I think you implied this. From slavery in terms of the way in which we were treated during the whole enslavement, captured people so bad until the master, the white man, could rape our women, and the black man felt powerless to do anything about it. The buying and selling of human beings, this is a horrible situation. So these people did not have love in their souls for any other human beings but themselves. And you see a lot of this stuff taking place today in the world in which we live, Mama D. So we have some challenges that we are facing today, and we must meet these challenges head on, and we must be about this. And that's why we have these shows, and we go to these discussions, we sit on these panels, so that we can get the word out about the problems.
Well, you know, you said, you said that the identification crisis is a great problem, and I agree with that. It is. Are we there yet? You were talking about, you know, the Dred Scott decision of 1857 said blacks have no rights that whites are bound to respect. They are a subjugated race. They didn't say Negro race, colored race, black race, African American. They said they are a subjugated race, and they added this, inferior and subordinate, whether they are emancipated or not. So that whole Emancipation Proclamation of 1863 did not vacate the Supreme Court Dred Scott decision of 1857. So it had to be a constitutional amendment to change that. But what is so amazing to me is that we have a group of people have three constitutional amendments in our own right. We have the 13th Amendment that broke up, well, changed enslavement from individual to institutional, which is a bigger problem, hopping out of the fire into the frying pan. And then the 14th Amendment that gave us the right to be citizens in the land of our birth that we had been in 246 years, but we wasn't citizens. And in addition, the 15th Amendment gave us the right to vote. So, but what are we doing? That untreated heart, mind, and subjugated syndrome damage that we found out about in 1954 when the Supreme Court ruled that the children too young to express themselves with words and with writing have suffered so much heart, so much self-esteem and inferiority damage, because this is what the Dred Scott decision had said. Whether you're
Mama, do you have some callers on the line? You have three callers that would like to get in. Please take calls now.
Yes,
we're right 314. Please take calls if they want a while.
Yes, we'll take the calls, but let me finish what I was saying, which is, see, we don't hear enough about the facts of what happened to us. The Dred Scott decision said blacks were inferior and they were in subordinate, whether they were emancipated or not. Now, the Brown versus Board of Education decision, we talk about it all the time, but we do not talk about the fact of it didn't say heart damage. That was some press type of statement. It said that the black children had suffered so much inferiority damage. But we don't want to say inferiority to get the language straight, so we say heart and mind. Mind, when it comes to you're spending a dollar on a black child's education, but you're spending $100 on a white child's education. So there was mind inequity as well as inferiority overcoming that. That self-hate that we, not like anybody else, have been taught to help hate self. For 246 years, that's 2.5 centuries. Nobody else was taught to hate self. It is an unnatural condition that we are in, and we were taught that because of what happened to us did not happen to anybody else. And I'm going to say this and then take a call. When we, the United States Senate and Congress apologized on June 18, 2009, the 14th anniversary when Biden signed the Juneteenth national law into place. That was on the 14th anniversary of the United States apology, and I said it featured former presidents Bill Clinton, George Bush, each one of them served 8 years, one a Republican, one a Democrat, saying the vestiges still exist today. And that is where we are, and that is where the violence is coming from. It's not coming from us. We didn't have the chains or the bull's whip or the beatings or the laws or anything else. So can we go to a caller now? Is that
all right,
okay?
Area code 314-77. Your mic is open. Go right ahead. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your question or comment, please.
Is that me, Naima?
Ah, yes. It sounds like this is Pianki from St. Louis.
Are you going to give me my guest? Bianchi, I was trying to get your phone number so that you could be my guest.
Maybe well, Naima has my phone number. You got this one, don't you, Naima?
I'll make sure I do. Yes, sir. Well, I'll make sure we have it so we can pass it on to Mama D.
Yeah, pass it on to her. But see, here's the thing I want to make mention. People are always talking about history. History is never told right. And identity. You got certain members of African Americans want to claim anything that's black, dark skin, anything that's not lily white as being black. And that's just not true. But as far as the history is concerned, your kids need to be taught science, mathematics, need to be talked about physics, chemistry, because they need to be able to understand where they're at in the world and what's going on and what makes it happen. And they don't seemingly understand the science, because some of the things that I hear young people speak about, like the map, the world has been turned upside down because the river flows from the south to the north rather than like the Mississippi from the north to the south. And that's because at the top, things should fall to the bottom. And they're confused. And it ain't just kids. Grown people also. And these stories about slavery. You know, at the eve of the Civil War in Mississippi, Mama D, less than 3% of whites had anything to do with slavery. Well, then who was it then? Well, you don't want to talk about that. And I'm not going to mention it right now, neither, because you're running out of time. But, yeah, I'd like to come on to the show one time or two, not too many, though, and speak on these issues, on these points, and see where it
well, do you know? Do you know next week we'll be doing the 37th annual Dream Day Vision Quest, and our theme is Upright the World, because it has been turned upside down. Anytime you got tampons in the boys' bathroom and some other things, that you get milk out of a chest instead of a breast. So it's about upright the world. I'm black and I'm blessed. And we're just trying to have the bebop, bop, and the hip-hop get together and have some fun and reclaim our music, because music is very important, and it's what kept us going in the 60s. And this music today is stopping us from going. So we'd like to have you talk about that. Some will be in Washington, D.C. We'll be in Washington Park.
I have a difficult time deciphering what's being said in the lyrics of today's song, so I don't want to look like a fool. But anyway, I'll let you get to your other callers.
Could that be selective amnesia that you consciously choose not to hear it?
I don't think I ever learned those lyrics that they're saying today, Mama D. But I'll let you get back to your other callers.
Well, thank you, and next week next month to have you as our guest on. We should be streaming live at the Harold Washington Park.
All right, sounds great.
I know some
thank
people
you very
didn't
much.
Know Harold Washington had a park. Well, he does.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, thank you so much, Bianca.
Sure.
And Mama D.
Yeah.
One point that you were talking about the legislation that takes place in Congress, and when I look at across the board, I see that many of these people have that same attitude that they had back in the 1800s. You were talking about the Dred Scott decision and all of that, the superior attitude. I see less of it today, vestiges that many black people, so-called black people, have the inferior attitude, and the so-called white man has the superior attitude. And you see that when you pay attention to the news, and that is something that we've got to teach on and educate about as well. Absolutely. Now, with regard to music, let me say one thing about music, that we understood music better. That's why I was talking about Willie Hutch, David Ruffin, Marvin Gaye, and all that. And we just saw a documentary on Marvin Gaye, The Life and Times of Marvin Gaye, which was quite interesting and educating, education-wise. But even some of the rap today, if you listen closely, it is very political and very informative, too. Now, some of it is detrimental. It's dangerous, some of it is. But if you listen closely, there's a message in the music as well.
Oh, there is there's a message in it. And, you know, growing up, I was part of it takes a village, and we had a village at that time. And there was two institutions, the institution of the black church and the institution of black mamahood. And black mamahood went out the door when we got these comics coming in with your mama so fat and your mama so ugly all of that. Supposedly entertainment, but it started that erosion process of attacking the black mother, who at that time was backed up by the black man, so that she could.
Right now, you're talking about some of the you're talking about some of the today's comedians.
Talking about the comedians that started that your mama so fat and your mama so ugly
right
back in the 50s, and then it's the same. as the young people today with they bitches and hoes mentality.
Mm-hmm.
They rule the female. That we don't hear any other race talking about his woman the way we're talked about. And, again, that's that subjugated syndrome. You don't hear, as I said to you before, you don't hear Chinese saying, sit your slanty ass step down. Set your white self down.
I
think you've got another call.
Yes, let's take another
one. Area code 111111. Your mic is open. Go right ahead. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment for our host and guest.
Good afternoon. It's a very wonderful show and a wonderful subject at this particular time. I had two questions. First of all, one of the things you notated was that the legislative piece and how the politicians make laws and that we're bound to have to follow. When you don't vote for these people, what part of that are you really involved in? And how much responsibility are you saddled with in that particular situation?
Is that a question point, for me? I'm sorry,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Your second point is this. Does that mean that because we're in a situation where we have a group of people where some have went all the way wayward with absolutely no morals. There's a movie out called Summer Assault. They have a song called Oh Happy Day. That was actually a number one hit in the summer. Well, since when has the gospel song been number one in popular? Probably that one time. But people's mind had a unity to it. The type of music, I heard the brother Bianchi say, he said he didn't even understand the words these people are using. But the type of music and the words they're using are so vile that it's just sickening to your stomach. I mean, even the artists that are supposed to be successful, like Snoop Dogg, make songs about throwing up signs and somebody was messing with the roaches in my ashtray mentality. Why? How does that further us as a people? So I'm beginning to believe this piece is going to be divided by conscience. If you're going to follow the wrong way, whether you got untreated heart or mind damage or whatever your problem is, you're going to follow the politicians, follow people that tell you to take a jab or something that they create, then you should go that way. At the end of the day, there's only some of us that are going to be able to survive when the smoke clears because we didn't follow that wayward thinking. So I sure appreciate it, but just like you say, there's no such thing as black. Maybe we should just start focusing on being in higher consciousness, drop that other piece, because I don't want to be with those that are positive.
We're coming up on a hard break, and we certainly do. Thank you for that comment. Wallace, can you give him a response?
Yes. I think, in listening to the brother, I thinking about how important it is for us to be specific. You know, like when we talk about we, us, and they, I think we should be specific for the purpose of clarity. And clarity gives us clear, and clarity, it makes our direction clear when we set goals and objectives. That's number one. And then he pointed out something about the legislative. I think that was pulling off of something that I said about legislation. And yes, he's right. Voting is important. We should, as a people, choose our politicians, choose the people we're going to vote for. And sometimes we'll hear on the Love Power Show, we hear talk about buying a politician. What that means is that when the politician doesn't carry out the needs of the black community, then we simply vote them out,
Will it be possible for you to hang on after our break because our other guest hasn't shown up? Is that going to be possible?
Okay. Yes.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that you have...
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of our cells, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our host. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Mama G, my guest, Wallace Redd of the Love Power Show and friend to the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio. If you're listening and you want to weigh in, just put punch one and you can share your wisdom. But before the last caller was talking about this song, what he was saying, I can't think of the record right now that he gave, but it was a song
today.
In the movie.
It was a song, Oh Happy Day, and I believe the Hawkins family, did that song, Oh Happy
right.
Day.
Oh Happy Day, thank you for that. And what happened with Old Happy Day is that they were very much criticized because that was that I think it was the number one hit song. It was reaching the whole world, but the family, that particular church group, just like with the music of Ray Charles, that particular church group couldn't get the larger meaning that they were promoting a spiritual principle, that because their beat reached the circular world as well as the lockdown church world, they were very upset at them for doing that. And that is what happens, again, when you don't grow, that they couldn't see, my God, these people are reaching all of these people that maybe have never set foot inside of a church. But here they are relating to that message of Jesus' walk.
Before you take the next caller, we've got we're live on Facebook, on the Female Solution Facebook page, and we've got a couple of comments about that. Curtis Kojo Morrow says, it's true, we've waited centuries for Jesus or somebody to come and rescue us and blame if or when he or she fails. Let's face it, nobody's going to save us, mostly from us, but us. So that's his comment about, I guess, the... and then also he says, no questions, only statement to meditate on later. The following is for referring to singing and dancing and praying. At an early age, I got fed up with people telling me what I couldn't do because I'm black and watching my families and black people begging, whining, and praying for someone to come and save us, while pleading with white folks to like us. We were always in the position of being the jokers or entertainers, i.e. singing and dancing to appease the white folks. And so that's his
Yeah,
comment.
Well, I would like to say
dancing
this,
entertainment
this comment,
aspect.
Because it's a comment, of course, that we have heard before. Jesus is not, well, first of all, getting back to our identity, if you're in spirit and in truth, that Bible is a black history book. There is no J in the Hebrew alphabet, but Yahshua, the Messiah of the Christ, who most called Jesus, was described as having woolly hair, or hair like lamb's wool, and his feet was a dark metal. And so if his feet matched his face, then he was a dark-skinned man with woolly hair. And guess what? Sheep and lambs have woolly hair, and goats and kids have straight hair. And in addition to that, the when they came and took our hero of the Black Bible story, that's our history, they repainted his waist fake white, and they gave him straight hair. So if this had been an insignificant character, but he's the whole hero of the Bible book, then why was it necessary for them to change his color, a man who was born on the continent of Africa, why did they change him into white with the straight hair? So again, that was the original identity theft. We are the parents of civilization. We are not the boys and girls. They have the DNA to prove that. They have the archaeological finds of the oldest bones they ever dug up of a black woman on the continent of Africa. All of this. But we have been miseducated. And that is why we feel that we, just like everybody else, but what happened to us made us different. And we need to own that. Our history has been snatched. That Priyanka talked about, if we need to learn the sciences and all of this, well, certainly we do. And I was talking to my preschool age class in my book, Slave Story and Skit. So I was talking about how black people, you'd go to the supermarket and buy people like they go to the grocery store and buy food. But we were talking about, and they couldn't learn how to read or write. If they tried to, they would get their thumbs cut off. And in addition to that, our children are not taught about who they were before enslavement. They don't get that they are the parents of civilization. We don't get that we are the parents of civilization. Everybody comes from blackish to brown to red to yellow to white. And that is we only the black people have that gene. And what is the big threat is everybody has to kill up everybody else to have one race. All we have to do is make love and have one race. So that's the great big inevitable. You can't get around it. But this is why we are hated, especially the black man is so hated. And all the torture and terror and everything that they have done with 345 years of laws to keep our status down. This is why they said that the Brown versus Board of Education, the segregation was unconstitutional because it only existed. And once we can get out of this category with everybody, we'll be on the right road. Yes.
We got another caller, Mama D. You want to take area code 773-221? Your mic is open. Go right ahead with your question.
Yes, but I wanted to add Wallace Redd, if he had something to say on that, to that comment from the Facebook.
Well, you know, a couple of things.
I would just say that according
to Andrew, hold on a second. Get Wallace's remark, and then I'll open your mic back up again. Hold on.
Well, the previous brother, the brother who called, he pointed out something very important when he talked about the politics of the situation and choosing a politician and voting for that politician. And do we continue to follow that politician and knowing that he's not doing the bidding of black people in general and more specifically the issues that we face? And so I wanted to build on that point and say that that does require work. He's absolutely right. And it requires a lot of work. It requires being vigilant, consistent, and on the case around the clock until we get the job done. And it also requires, and yes, those who say that black people are different, we have many different ideas and concepts about life and policy and politics and all that, that is correct. When I look at the overall situation, I do see that. But at some point, we have to come together around a common goal like the natives did at one time when they came together and defeated Custer. That was called Custer's Last Stand. So I wanted to build on that. And the Facebook comment, I think the person who made that comment has some valid points. Maybe it was a little off topic, but there's some valid points that we should consider waiting on someone to do for us what we should be doing for ourselves. You know, Elijah Muhammad taught that. Don't expect the white man or anyone to do anything for you. Do what you, for yourself, what you should be doing for yourself. So
but you know what? I don't
see
that you
finish up at
all.
One last point, Mama D. Mama D, can I say this real quick? Can I say this real quick? When he was talking about singing and dancing, buffoonery and all of that, not some of that's true, but not all of it, because we pointed out earlier, Mama D, that there is a message in some of our ways of entertaining and in our singing, et cetera. But with that, I'm done for that. I'm done with that right there.
And not only that, when you have got so much misery around you and all you have to bring yourself, your spirit, to feed your spirit is maybe just clapping your hands or maybe using your voice to sing some kind of merriment that you could bring to your soul. I'm not mad at you if you were dancing to leave that kind of on the greatest Holocaust in the history of humankind. And you are a human being, and everything is saying point to the fact that that's not so. But when it comes to helping ourselves, I mean, nobody helped us do anything. We were released without anything at all. They never repaired the damage. Things that was built up, we built them up, and they came in like Tulsa and tore them down. So this notion of, oh, we just been lazy, sitting around. We had our own lipstick that we had to and deodorant, because people like Revlon wouldn't even sell us a product. So we, everything that we had, we did it from scratch without reparations on our own, things that we had learned from the enslavement position. So to sit around and say, oh, we're just waiting for somebody to give us something, that is far from the truth. We need to be repaired from the intergenerational epigenetics, intergenerational the trauma that has altered our DNA. And women, as we speak, are dying at the rate during pregnancy three times when it comes to then Latino women, and twice when it comes to white women. So it's not like
we have a caller.
So we're going to go to the call now.
Okay, area code 773221, Grand Rising. Thank you for calling.
Yes.
Give your name, where you're calling from, and your comment.
Andrew Nelson Bay. You know, in the Nation of Islam, they say that the brown man is really the Japanese and the yellow man's the Chinese, and that Mother Plane was built in Japan from 1909 to 1929. And the Universal House of Justice states, and I quote, that far from aiming at subversion of the existing foundations of society, it seeks to broaden its basis to promote its institutions in a manner consonant with the needs of an ever-changing world. That is consistent with what Thomas Jefferson says in the Declaration of Independence as it relates to should any form of government not lend itself to safeguarding what we deem to be our inalienable rights, it becomes our right to alter or abolish that regime and institute new government. Now, Roger B. Taney, who was the racist Supreme Court justice that opined the Dred Scott decision, saying that no white man has any right to the black man is bound to respect towards that effect.
That was the way around.
I know, and I said it on purpose. And, you know, I would just say, why should we recognize what these racist white men proclaim as the law? We're to make our own laws. That's the whole point
That's easy. Because he that has the gun, bows and arrows, and you fight against other tribal people with their bows and arrows, you got a nice fight going on. But when you bring in your cannons and you bring in your Gatling guns and somebody's got the bows and arrows, you're going to lose. And if you got the power, we have no army, no air force, no navy, no marines, no federal, state, city police, and other militia. So when you got that, if you got your rights, do you have the right to protect those rights with your army, your air force, your navy, no marines, your federal, state, city police, and other militia? We didn't. So we are not in a position, nor have we, being kidnapped and put under the kinds of conditions we have been put under by law. You cannot stand up against the institutions as an individual. And we have done miraculously well. We should never say what we haven't done, but it's part of the damage that we keep blaming ourselves and saying all this stuff that we're supposed to do. Nobody else, the greatest Holocaust in the history of humankind, and we have never been repaired from the damage that has never stopped. And we need to give ourselves a break.
I think it might be helpful if we begin to only say what we want to be our situation, that we should never say anything about ourselves that we do not truly wish to come true in our own life. And that's how we bring into the universe what we actually want. And it's a discipline, and it's something that I think would be positively helpful if we were to really develop that and be more precise in what we say of positivity and bring that into existence by wisely invoking it. Just like I purposefully switched around the words of Roger B. Taney, I did that on purpose. And we need to incorporate that into the lyrics of music and bring that into the situation instead of this negative garbage that we have
you know,
in our hip-hop.
this is the second time music has been mentioned, and music is very important. In 1989, I drafted a proclamation, and Mayor Richard M. Daley, he signed it. And we were August 25th to the 28th marks a Dream Day weekend to establish a 1960s Music Wall of Respect, spotlighting the songs of James Brown. And the reason we did that is when I grew up, if somebody called you black, it didn't matter how black you were. It was just fighting words because of the blackface damage. All the hideous features that they put on us had an impact. And so when James Brown, I think the police officer shot about 20 or 30 times into his car. They were chasing him, and I think they was, if he'd have stopped, they probably would have killed him. But anyway, this music, they have snatch-style music that kept us going, as I said, during enslavement. What do you have to give your human spirit a spark of joy? People say, well, why do people in Africa have all them babies? Because sex is usually a recreational kind of outlet, that it gives you some kind of release. It gives you some kind of feeling of joy or togetherness. And this is what our music did for us. How do you go through the civil rights movement and the bullwhip beatings and the dogs biting you and the children being bombed in churches? How do you release it? It was the music. And we need to have that music wall of respect. And that is why August 28th in Washington Park, we're planning on a bebop, bop, and hip-hop dance celebration so that we can begin to, that was what, 30-plus years ago, but we got to revisit that music, Renaissance of the 60s music wall of respect. We've got to resurrect that because it kept our spirits going. Make a joyful noise is part of what makes you a human being. With these masks covering your smile, an animal, I don't care how smart he is, he will never be smiling. I don't care how smart he is, he's not crying tears, and he's not smiling of joy. And if you stepped into a room and everybody in there were crying, you wouldn't hear him crying in different languages. If you stepped into a room and everybody was in there laughing, you wouldn't hear them laughing in a different language. So music, joy, and pain is a human experience. And we have got to bring out more of the joy just to release us from the pain that we have done for generations, centuries. And that is important. Do we have another caller? Or you want to...
Brother, I'm going to ask you.
Mama, do you have a remark on Facebook? You have another remark. Curtis Kojo Morrow says regarding, you know, history and the books. He says, speaking of books, especially history books, most of them are in urgent need of revising. So I guess even the history that we're teaching is so outdated and wrong that we need to revise those books to make them actually more accurate with some of the facts that you all have said. One thing I'd like to add, I guess, in terms of the point that Andrew was making about how we visualize what we want, we do have the power to create that which we want, even as we acknowledge what we don't want that has happened. And Pianke made the remark that most white people were not involved in the slave experience. Most of them that are in the United States now did not come from ancestry that was involved directly in the enslavement experience. Many of them from Eastern Europe, from Asia. Many of the people were not involved in the global slave trade. The few families that actually benefited are very small in number, just like now. The few families that benefit from the exploitation of so many are really very few. So I would ask you this question, Mama D. One of the things that you pointed out was that we're still doing these habitual spiritual things and what we're saying to our children that's continuing to damage them. So how do we go about teaching people not to keep repeating the behavior that was learned in slavery? How do we go about stopping it when we see it, when we see a mother or a father saying disparaging things to their child, you know, sit your, you know, black so-and-so down, or and you're so stupid, you know, we see, when we see this happening, see the destruction happening, how do we stop it and re-educate lovingly?
Well, I think the first way we stop it is we name it. The Dred Scott decision says the subjugated race, not Negro race or colored race or black race, but the subjugated race. So what we have as a people is a subjugated syndrome. So once it's named, and then you can say, well, what is that? Well, the subjugated syndrome is how they taught you to hate self. And the words that you use are the words that the slave creator. See, God, it's like God made him, and then he made the Negro. He created. And so once we start, I'll give you a quick example of what you're talking about. I was thinking about good hair and bad hair. And I was talking to this little, I guess he was about a 9 or 10 year old. And I said, good hair and bad hair? No, we should think of strong hair and weak hair. I said, see, we have strong hair. It just stays up all by itself because it's strong. We have this strong hair because we are a strong people. And he said, instead of bad hair and good hair, we can change the words to strong hair and weak hair. And he said to me, yeah, even if you put some bobby pins in it, it still flops back down. I said, that's right, it flops back down because it's weak hair, and we have strong hair. So once we recognize what the subjugated syndrome is, we can begin to attack it. But we need to name it and say how we got it, and then we can get rid of it and moving right along. Constantly say, you all don't do this and you all don't do that. And as I said, we should be floating around like considering the things that we have went through, and we are just still here, that we have any kind of brain cell that wasn't beat out of us and tortured out of us and terrorized out of us. And it never
Mama D, as we're coming up on a break. I don't know if your guest, Wallace Redd, can stay over, but, you know, if not, maybe you may want to get a statement from
I can for a little while longer. When we come back, I want to say a couple of things about
Robert
your
Floyd
question.
Mr. Robert Plump is coming up at 1:30 to 2:00. So would you please give us closing remarks? And thank you again so much for being with us. But this is how we begin to love into shape instead of whipping into shape when we realize that we have been whipped into shape. So.
No problem. Naima has a very valid question on the floor. And a couple of ways that can be done, Naima, is that as you are out moving around and about, and oftentimes you'll see some of this crazy stuff taking place, you can, of course, you have to be careful with this. You can address the question or the issue then very diplomatically, because you have to be, again, careful that you don't get into some kind of fracas. The other way, you hear a lot of talk about parenting classes or other groups and organizations addressing issues that afflict the African American community. So that's two ways that I think we can approach that question, Naima.
Well, and
but I thank you.
It's the parenting classes. Your DCFS, White People Controls and Operate This, they should be parenting our children because they don't recognize the experience that we've had, but they are always in charge of telling us how to behave. And
I think most of us would agree with that.
Yeah, well, you know, we've got, of course, we've had Mark Shahid on a number of times, who does an online parenting class every, I think, Wednesday evening, and perhaps we can have him on as a guest on your show, Mama D, to just give some examples of good parenting and conscious parenting where you're building up the child rather than tearing them down. So that's a possible future guest to have. To give some demonstrations on what good parenting looks and sounds like and feels like for the child so that they can have good, healthy self-esteem.
And should it be taught by children that people that look like you, instead of spreading this European slave master concept of parenting?
Well, we got to take a break. That's a question to go to. And, of course, if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 519-325, and press 1 and talk to our host. You're listening to Wisdom with Mama D. We'll be right back after this last break. So stay with us.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Oh, man. God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456. And schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced. And we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
Well, we are final session of Wisdom with Mama T. And if you want to get in on the conversation, please put your comments on Facebook or
Where are you?
515-605-9325. Just punch 1 to get in on the conversation. Well, we've got our very special guest, Mr. Robert Floyd. Introduce yourself. And thank you so much for being we're having a glitch. We're having glitches going on.
Yeah, Mr. Plump, I'm going to suggest that you step to a quieter place. I think he's at Rainbow Push this morning where they're having a program, but you'll probably need to step away to a quieter spot because we're picking up all the background sound and so we won't be able to hear you speak. So while he's doing that, you've got, I believe you've got Pianke that wanted to make another statement. While Minister Plump is moving to a quieter location, and then I'll open his mic in another moment. But Minister Plump, I'll open the mic for Pianke again. You had another comment.
I was going to tell Mama D. I notice you keep talking about making reference to the spirits of the slaves, but Africans that was brought to this part of the world was not unfamiliar with slavery. It exists in many forms, including for propagation, because you had some kings that had 200 kids. And Africa taught the rest of the world. Africa taught the rest of the world. Hang on for a second. Let me finish, and I'm going to be gone. You can talk as much as you want. Africa taught the rest of the world slavery, if we taught them everything else. And one other thing, Justice Taney's decision at the time was the correct decision, the verdict that he handed down. Anyway, go ahead. I'll listen.
No, I absolutely agree with that wholeheartedly. But slavery was not, you were a movable property thing. You were not a movable property thing. All the people had slaves. They had to do with, if I conquer you, you become my slave and eventually part of my family. If you conquer me, I become your slave and eventually part of your family. But this being a movable property thing was totally different. It was even different in America because the indentured servant was not a slave with its offspring being born into enslavement. And after 7 years, he had a way out of it. His debt was released. So it was a different form of slave in which your humanity was taken away. In the Moses time, they had slavery, but the people had families, they had cultures. That's how you knew who the parents of Moses was compared to his biological parents because of their culture, because they were full human beings
and they were full slaves too. But the chattel slavery was a whole different animal. And what we have to realize is what happened to us didn't happen to anybody else. We can't sweep it under the rug. The vestiges still exist today. We need to be repaired. Do we need housing? Yes. Do we need civil rights? Yes. Do we need voting rights? Yes. Do we need health care? Yes. But in addition to all of that, we need to be repaired. The Japanese were given reparations, and they fought against America. They bombed Pearl Harbor. But they were interned, not enslaved, but interned for 3 years, and they got repaired with dollars that they could use. The Jewish Holocaust people, they were exterminated or whatever for 3 years, and they got a land, Israel, and they get constant dollars. Biden came up with an initiative.
I take the next call.
Biden came up with an initiative that gave $12 million to Jewish Holocaust, and they Holocaust didn't happen here. So it's not out of order that the greatest Holocaust in the history of humankind, we have vestiges of that that exists today, and it doesn't exist with any other group but the ones who had 345 years of federal laws against us as a group. That's a lot to overcome, and we haven't. So the back to Minister Plump, our guest.
So, I'm going to open Minister Plump's mic, and Kojo Morrow says, teaching our children the true history of their ancestors will instill the same feeling of entitlement as those of the children of the former oppressors are taught soon after their birth. So I guess he's making the point that, like Pianki was saying, that we had people that enslaved us that were our own people, and they had the same arrogance as the white enslavers, because that's what slavery creates, arrogance. So if you're truthful about what happened, then it was the human mistreatment of humanity, and all races have done that to each other. So
Not the chattel, not taking away your right to be a human being. It's totally unique. And that's why it's called chattel slavery. It's not
Mr. Plump,
called slavery.
Yes, I'm ready.
Mr. Plump, you have to step away. You have to leave that area where you are, because the sound is just too much background noise. So you'll have to walk away where there isn't any sound so that we only hear your voice, because right now we can't hear you where you're standing. So you'll need to walk away to where it's quiet and maybe close the door or something, because we can't hear you if you're next to music. We can't hear what you're saying, and then we can't hear what anybody else is saying.
The whole idea with our theme is how to love into shape instead of whipping into shape. Minister Plump was, I think he was in the Vietnam War, and as the soldier, they are taught to, we're going to whip you into shape. So all of this terminology, we've been taught that sticks and stones can break your bones, but words will never harm you. Words will destroy you. In the beginning was the word. Words are injuries that do not show up on an X-ray, and we are very much harmed when we are telling our children, insulting them and their features, and making them continually feel low self-esteem and hate themselves. If you are taught to hate yourself, it's natural that you're going to be hating other people. So we have to deal with that. We are in this situation, but how did we get in it, and how do we overcome it? We overcome it by that little girl. She was when Darian Albert was beat to death with a board. She was speaking at a meeting, and she said, y'all got to love us. Y'all got to care about us. Our children have the notion that they are not loved and they are not cared about. And we've got to change that.
I'm going
to
see if Minister Plump is in a quiet place now. Minister Plump, are you ready to speak?
I'm better.
Your mic is open.
Ma'am. Thank you so much. All right. Well, in your shalom,
okay, so
who are we don't
thank
die.
You.
Yes, we're on Yashalom, or who are we don't die, we multiply. Black power forever. And it's our time now to help save the children. How you doing, beloved? Mama Dula.
I am just so pleased to have you as our guest. And I was just saying that when being a soldier, you were taught to whip into shape. And there are, biblically, we have been taught. There's two rods. There's a rod in your hand, and there's a rod in your mouth. There's a rod of correction. You don't have to use the rod in your hand like the slave master used. So would you just tell us a little about your background and how you got involved into before you got into whipping into shape when you first got dose of healthy self-esteem, where that came from, and how we can use that today.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. It's an honor and a privilege. I am with Rainbow Push right now, Coalition, looking at Dr. King, Martin Luther King Jr., and also the Godfather, Reverend Dr. Clay Evans, and Dr. Reverend Jackson. And I hope that everyone can consider to promote Plump. And I'll show you how we did this last forward. I was a part of Emmett Till funeral, keeping it real, you know, as a child, 10 years old. Then this fast forward, I went with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. On August the 28th, 1963, in the march on Washington. Came as a migration from from Mississippi to Chicago in the Great Migration. And then I had an opportunity to meet Dr. Clay Evans and Reverend Jesse Lewis Jackson. We call him Dr. Nick Jackson now. And this is where I met right down to the modern time. However, I also remember the Honorable Mayor Harold Washington said, in his campaign, we must pump the whole community. So we are pumping it up in peace, love, and unity, marketing people, and let's pump. We're promoting freedom, justice, equality, and economics. And for us now as a time, it's the Negro people time. We still say amen. However, that was in the beginning. This is fast forward. We say a woman. It is a woman time now. If you notice, all around the world, women is leading everything. And that's because it is the law and the order and the natural nature of God. And we all come from our mother. So we got Mother Earth. We got the mother of the earth and the mother of the universe. And that's where you come in, Mama D. Love. You know we can
well,
love
but I appreciate that, but this is what I think. That we are missing out on. It is let us make man in our image and our likeness. And it goes on to say male and female created
right.
them. So you got God the Father and God the Son, but it's out of order because there's no God the Mother. So we got God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, Mother of wisdom and comfort, because your first teacher teaches you wisdom is your mother, and your first sign of comfort is that refrigerator in her bosom, which is called a breast and not a chest, because today's language, they're saying you cannot say breastfeeding, you got to say chest feeding. But this is God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, Mother of wisdom and comfort, and God the Child. And if you look up in the sky, you will see one sun, one father, one moon, one mother, and many stars. many children. So we need to, that's one of the languages that we need to change, because lying tongues destroy the body and the soul. And when you got a God to the father and a God to child, and you have no God the mother, that is totally out of order.
We have two, Mama G.
And
we got
so
nine way and the female
solution. You always say Wayo and Yah Shalom. Wayo, W-A-O, is a word that I made up in the 70s while I was at Columbia College, and it means we are one. And what's important about the Wayo spirit is not a male and female. It's even the terminology that we use, it has a division to it. Instead of a Wayo, we are one. We must be one. And this divisive language, like black and brown, for instance, well, what about all the other colors? We just, the wrong stuff is coming out of our mouth, and that's what we need to do, get the language straight, like Dr. King said.
That's what
Mama,
Dr.
Mama, do you have
King
another comment on Facebook regarding slavery? Curtis Kojo Morrow says, by living in Africa for as long as I did, it was explained to me the origination of slavery and why, which is much different from that which we suffered. However, any form is bad. And he also says another thing to consider is it would have been impossible for as many slaves to end up in this hemisphere if not for our ancestors aiding and abetting. So I think that's an issue we got to deal with. We are responsible for our own condition because we did this to ourselves by fighting among ourselves. So what should we learn from that so that we don't keep repeating it and keep suffering the consequences of our own mistreatment of each other? Mama D, I mean, that's a question for us.
That's very interesting, and that question really needs to be dealt with. When we go back to all this violence, the first murder was two brothers. It wasn't black on black. It was brother on brother. And the root cause of that was one brother thought that he was superior to the other brother. And when he didn't get a good reward, he put in the element of competition. Look, you've got plants that you deal with. I got sheep and animals that I deal with. I'm bringing my gift from my bounty. You're bringing your gift from your bounty. But because you are the older brother, you think that you are superior to the younger brother. And when he gets a good grade and you didn't, all of a sudden your countenance has fallen. You got your mouth, your lips poked out. And the Creator asked the question, why are you wroth? Why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, you'll be rewarded. We have enough on this earth plane to do well, and get a laborer is worthy of his hire. But when somebody thinks that they are superior because they are a king in Africa, and I don't buy the fact that, oh, well, you know, they stood down and they went to the local Chase Bank and they wrote up this contract, and the chief told the white man, because of course everybody speaks the same language. First of all, when you were black and you put on the white paint came off. So when you see some white people that don't have the paint to come out and they're on a ship with these thunder cannon guns, blowing up stuff, you probably thought they were gods and started to worship in them. But I just don't not buy the, well, they made a contract. No, if I saw a chieftain's son, I would put that rope on that chieftain's son like I would put it on anybody else that I could catch. So we need to
Mama, Mama D, I'm giving Minister Plum's mic so he can respond to that thought. Go right ahead, Minister Plum. Yes. I don't know, and Pianchi wants to make a
I want to make a quick statement. Mama D, we have to all work on Help Stop the Violence, Robbing, Stealing, and Killing, and Looting, and Hijacking, and any and all evil, wicked, wrong things that people do. We have to change. It is time for us. This is 2021. This is a year of change. It's also a whole year, 23. Now, tomorrow, we hope you might consider a new two-sister name being our special guest with National Black Wall Street, Chicago. We're going to be sharing success, breed success. Our location is 4655 South Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Drive, room 203. We got 100% plus and more for jobs for our people economically. And people can call me at 312-671-2773 or go to the Harold Washington Foundation.net for more information. You know, that's www.harroldwashingtonfoundation.net.
Not having a job has nothing to do with a little two-year-old toddler riding his little red tricycle out with an adult person that loves them, enjoying a wonderful day, and somebody opens fire on them. That has nothing to do with unemployment. That has to do with lack of humanity and damage of what happens when you haven't been loved into shape and you've been whipped into shape and neglected and you're hurt, and hurt people hurt other people. So we've got to
Another minute,
and
if you
want to,
Bianchi had one last statement. Go right ahead. Your mic is open.
My statement is, I keep hearing Mama D make mention about chattel slavery. That means that you take the status of your mother as matriarchy. Yes, it existed in Africa. A child took on the status of his mother when it was born. And guess where else it existed? It existed amongst the tribes of the five civilized tribes here in the United States.
Thank you.
Well, it happened to other people. We were made a thing instead of people by the powers that be. And the powers that be has the Army, the Air Force, the Navy, and Marine, and other things to whip you into shape, handcuff you into shape, put chains on you into shape. And you have to, individuals have to bow down at the end of the day to the institutions because they are just more powerful. But there is no.
In the minute we have left, Mama D, what do the change, what has happened to us, what do we do as individuals to change that manifestation?
We do,
how
this
do we
what
behave
you're doing right
so that it
now
doesn't happen again.
This is what we do. You are educating people, the mother. We cannot have women that bring forth life not having any respect for life, because if the one that bring it forth don't have respect for it, then where will the respect for life come from? So we've got the female solution. That is the solution, and that is the value of this program. And not that everybody's on the same amen corner, because when somebody gives you a different view, then you have grown in information. You have what you think, but now you have what somebody else thinks. And instead of getting an attitude when people don't agree, they should celebrate when somebody brings forth something different. It allows you to grow. You have not decreased in information. You have increased in information. And the female solution and loving those into shape instead of just whipping them into shape, causing them to bend out of shape, it's where it starts, the power of love.
Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Xiexie. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke.